Amen. If you have your Bible, I invite you to take it and open it to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is right in the middle of your Bible. If you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, it's on page 474. And man, can I just tell you, there is never a time in our life that we don't need God. There's never a time in our life where we don't need God. And yet sometimes we get going in our lives and we may not remember that. And there are things that happen in our life and we go, oh my goodness, I am very keenly aware right now that I really, really, really need God, like right now. Has anybody ever had like one of those moment realizations? You're like, yes. Can I tell you when some of those moments just flash big in our lives? It's when we've blown it really, really big time. Yeah, and some of you are kind of chuckling, or saw some spouses kind of doing this, okay? Can we just have a mass confession right now? If you've ever blown it big time, would you just raise your hand? That should be every single hand in the room, okay? Every hand, you have blown it big time. I've blown it big time. That's why I want to talk with you today about those times in our life when we've blown it big time. Much of what I'm going to say came forth out of Chip Ingram's book, I'm With You Always. It's just been a real springboard for me. And man, if you've blown it big time, everybody else in here has too. So just relax, okay? Just relax. You're among friends. God loves you. He's glad that you're here. He's for you today. He is for you today. He's with you today. And he's really, really glad that you're here today. Although we can't see God with our eyes, we see evidence of the way he's at work in our lives and in our world. And kids, here's what I'd love for you to draw me a picture of today. If you could see Jesus like sitting on this pew over here, or sitting up here on these steps, and he was glad to see you, which he is, what do you think he would look like? Being glad to see you. Would you draw me a picture of God being glad to see you? He's glad that you're here. He is really, really glad that you're here. And when we're finished today, would you put your pictures of what you think it looks like for Jesus to be glad that you're here in church? Would you put it on my board? I'd love to see what you think that looks like. You know, God wants us to draw near to him today. And even if we've blown it big time, or we've got that sin in our life that we just keep getting tripped up by. I mean, maybe you're going, yeah, man, that is me. There's this one thing that I'm pretty good in these areas over here, but there's this one thing that keeps tripping me up week after week. And man, if that's you, just relax, okay? I'm glad you're here. God's glad that you're here. If you are a sinner, which you are, and I am too, God's invited you to come near to him. That's a good place for people to be who need to know him, who need to feel a fresh touch from him, who've blown it big time. Man, I was the first to raise my hand. I've got 1,001 stories I could share about when I have blown it big time, okay? You probably do too, but you don't have this little microphone on your head, and I do, so I'm going to tell one of mine. Is that okay with you? Yes? Yeah, this happened when I was a teenager, specifically when I was a freshman in high school. Now, a little disclaimer here, because we're all into image management, okay? I didn't really start following Jesus on a daily basis till after my sophomore year, okay? So I was still kind of a hood rat at this time, okay, when this story is going to take place. And it was a specific Friday night in September of 1987. I was a freshman in high school. My beloved Midway Panthers had just defeated the crosstown rival Robinson Rockets in our first football game of the year. We were fired up. After the game, I spent the night with one of my best friends. His name's Brent Baker. Brent Baker had a brand new home. Check that. Brent Baker's mom and dad had a brand new home, and he got to live there with his sister, okay, rent-free. And so Brent Baker and I, along with some of our other good friends named Brent Lightsey, you've heard his name before, Britton Bass, and Mark Shields, we all spent the night together, the five of us. They had just moved into their new home, still had that new home smell, you know what I'm talking about? There's a new car smell, but there's also a new home smell, and there were new rules for the house, and not only were there new rules for the new rules for the house were put there for a specific reason, so that new home smell could last as long as it possibly could, and the new home could actually seem new as long as it possibly could. And I don't know if you know this about guys or not, who are in their lower to mid-teenage years, who don't have dates on Friday night after a football game. They still have to do something to pass the time. And for some reason, God instilled in nearly every single teenage boy this innate need to wrestle. Okay? And so we're there at the new house. We're over at Baker's new house. We kind of get inside. First time inside, we're kind of checking things out. I walk through the door, and just to the right, there's this formal dining room area, and there is no furniture in it. They've just been moving in, but for whatever reason, they didn't have any furniture for the dining room table. And I just kind of make a mental note, how about that? Look at that. That's kind of a neat area. And it was in a perfect square. It had really, really thick carpet. And in my 15-year-old high school guy mind with no date on a Friday night, I immediately began seeing that dining room not as a great potential place for eating, but as an immediate place that night to wrestle. I'm just thinking, oh, yes. So I expressed the fact, hey, how about we have a big wrestling match in here? And man, my buddies, Bake and Lightsey and Britton Bass and Mark Shields, are all kind of going, yeah, that's great, man. There's a square right there, thick carpet, no furniture. And we're all in total agreement, except there's two people in the house that were not in total agreement with that. Can you guess who they were? Mr. and Mrs. Baker. They were not in favor of that. Ms. Baker quickly let us know that under no circumstances were we to wrestle inside her new house. It was a brand new house. The last thing that was going to happen was for WrestleMania to break out in the formal dining room. Why? She said, you might break something. What could we possibly break? There's no furniture in there. And so she just said, absolutely not. No wrestling inside the house. And then about an hour later, she went to bed. Now, Mr. Baker had already been to sleep. Mr. Baker was a huge hulking man with giant python arms. And Miss Baker, right before she left, she said, and remember, no, take a guess, wrestling. And when the door latched, we not only heard that, but in the far recesses of Madison Square Garden, we heard, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble! And I mean, we were in there choosing up sides, and it was Baker and me versus Lightsey, Britton Bass, and Mark Shields. And you're kind of going, wow, two against three. What's the deal here? Well, you need to know something about the different sides. So Baker and I both were strong, strapping young lads, and we were good to go. And Lightsey was good to go. But Britton Bass and Mark Shields both had asthma. Okay, so they kind of had a handicap there as far as breathing is concerned, okay? They were athletic, they were good guys, but you get in there for too long, and I mean, if this thing goes like 15 rounds, they're out. They're out. And so the asthma brothers and Lightsey versus Bake and me, and we get after it. And I mean, it's every kind of thing you can possibly imagine. Iron claws, figure four leg locks. We've got it all going on there. We're just dogging it for about 30 minutes. And I've got the asthma brothers in control. And I've got Britton Bass in this headlock, sleeper headlock, and I'm trying to just suffocate the air right out of him. Because I'm just going, it's like his one good lung, and I've got Shields in this leg scissor versus his one good lung. If I can get both their good lungs out, see, I got two good lungs, Bake's got two good lungs, so it's like four good lungs versus Lightsey's two good lungs, and then one good lung. So it's fair, it's like four good lungs versus four lungs, okay? So I've got these two guys, and I've got a headlock on one of the asthma brothers, and I've got a scissor lock on the other asthma brothers, and I'm just squeezing the air right out of them. And across the room, Baker's got Lightsey in this thing called a full Nelson, and he's just bending him over, trying to get him to submit. And all of a sudden, Lightsey's this wiry little redheaded guy. He doesn't give up on anything. And he just kind of stands up like this. And as I'm laying on the ground with a sleeper hold on Britton Bass and a scissor lock on Shields, just trying to squeeze the air out of him, I just see Lightsey come up and Baker just slings him across the room. All of a sudden, Lightsey's right rear end cheek goes into the wall. And time stopped. And my first thought was, oh my goodness, we just broke the dining room. And so we are there and immediately finished. The match was done. Now, this is 1987, and we're sitting there trying to devise a plan going, okay, what do we do? Well, we could just move a couch in front of the hole. They'll never know the difference. Except there was no furniture to just move over there, so that might tip them off a bit. No, that plan A, that won't work. Let's go to plan B. See, we didn't have this thing called Google in 1987. You got a thing called the phone book out that had some pages that were white and some pages that were yellow. The yellow. So we're looking up 24-hour, quiet, clean, efficient drywall. This is like 1:30 in the morning. You know, they don't run ads for that guy, even in 87. So we're like, oh, plan B is no good. Let's go to plan C. We didn't have cell phones. We had these things called rotary phones where you had to, like, do like this, and then it comes all the way back around. And it has this thing called a cord that's attached to a wall next to the phone book that had white pages and yellow pages. So if you press zero, guess who comes on the other end of the line? Operator. See, this is a lesson in history, kids. You just Google it now. Your Google back then was a lady on the other end of the line or a man on the other end of the line said, operator, can I help you? And we were like, you sure can. Because we need some advice. We got a hole in the dining room wall, and Mr. Baker's going to wake up in a few hours. And Mrs. Baker told us, and remember, no. And we wrestled. And we've blown it big time. Can you help us? And she's just laughing on the other end of the line. We're like, poof, hang up that receiver. So we're like, okay, all right, let's just think. We're smart, educated freshmen. What can we do to get out of this blow it big time moment? I got it. Here's the plan. We put all our sleeping bags out in the formal dining room because there was no furniture, right? Right? Perfect place to all crash. And in the night, I had to get up and go to the restroom, and I tripped over Mark Shields because as I was down inspecting this hole, I noticed something. His right cheek was about the same size as this right cheek. In the night, we tripped over. I fell head first. Kaplunk! Hole in the wall! Everybody's like, genius. And so we get all our bags in there. And then somebody said, you know, if you hit that wall with your face, there's probably going to be a mark. You know, you're right. The things that we will do. And so for the next several minutes, my friends helped me get a black eye. And we got away with it for a while. And down the line, it came out. We came clean. I mean, we blew it big time. In scripture today, I just want to show you one psalm from a guy that blew it big time. His name was David. Something about David's blowing it big time. This was King David, and King David, he was a good king. He wasn't an evil guy. Scripture even says he's wise, and he led well. He was a leader of men, and he was faithful in so many ways. And one scripture says he's a man after God's own heart, and yet he blew it big time. This strong man in a weak moment blew it big time. Because if you were to read this week in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, you'd see where David was channel surfing on his roof. He comes across just below a beautiful woman bathing outside. And instead of turning and going away, he stayed and he looked too long. And that look turned into lust, and that lust gave birth to a deeper sin that caused him great pain. And many others great pain. And he sends for this woman. Her name's Bathsheba. She's married. David's servant tells him that. And he says, I don't care. Go get her anyway. And they have a steamy one-night stand. And she comes back later and says, hey, I'm pregnant. And then he's going, oh, I blew it big time. I didn't just like put a hole in the dining room wall. I like royally have a problem here. And so he tries to fix the problem. He calls Bathsheba's wife, his name was Uriah, back home from the battle to get a report, thinking, well, he'll come back home, he'll go sleep with his wife, and hey, look at here. And that didn't work because he was a man of honor and integrity. And then the next night he tried to get him drunk to see if he could get him home, and he wouldn't do that. And so he sends Uriah with a sealed note back to the battlefield. And when the commander of the army looks at it, it said, and Uriah didn't know this, I want you to send that man to the front of the battle where the fighting is fiercest so that he'll die. And that's what happened. And that's how David covered up the big blow it moment. And then God sent a friend of his named Nathan. And basically, after telling a story and connecting with him, it became real clear that, David, you've blown it big time. And David's response wasn't to, yeah, but you don't understand. He didn't make excuses. He didn't try to cut a deal with God and lessen the consequences. He just owned it and acknowledged it and said, you're right, I am that man. And the response of David back to God is such an incredibly beautiful little psalm. In Psalm 51, would you just look at these first 12 verses with me? And what you're going to see in these first 12 verses is that he comes clean. David comes clean after he's blown it big time. And what you're also going to see is he asks God to cleanse him. So he comes clean and he asks who to cleanse him? God. Watch this. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy. He's just coming clean before God. And look at verse 2. Wash me. He's asking God to cleanse him. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin. He's owning it. He's blown it big time, and he's owning it. He's not passing the buck. He's owning it. Look at verse 3. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. There's stuff that's happened in your life when you've blown it big time, and it's ever before you even to this day. Even if you've asked the Lord Jesus to forgive you, it still comes back and haunts you. Look at verse 4. Against you, he's talking to God, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, look what God delights in. You delight in what? Truth. Where? In the inward being. And you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Watch him in verse 7. Just ask God. God, cleanse me. Cleanse me. Verse 7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. You know what? You know what Nathan the prophet said to David back in 2 Samuel chapter 12, after Nathan tells a little story and David begins to connect the dots, that wow, I've done something really, really bad. He said this: although God's displeased with you, you're not going to die. You go, wow, that's kind of harsh. Yeah, but you see, David knew that the penalty in that day for adultery and for murder, because that's what he did when he had Uriah murdered, Bathsheba's wife murdered, is they should kill me for that. And Nathan said, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. In verse 10, watch what he says. Maybe this could be your prayer and my prayer this morning. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Check out verse 12. He's talking about his relationship with his heavenly Father. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. The word of the Lord. Oh, man. David already was in a relationship with his Father in heaven. And yet a blow it big time moment happened. And he fell far away from God. And he comes before the Lord after a friend gently brings him to a place of accountability and conviction. And he owns it. And he goes, you're right. This isn't who I am. I've blown it big time. And he just pours out his heart to God. He already had a relationship with God, but he felt far away, and through this he comes back to God, and we see a fresh start taking place. Maybe that's you today. And there was a point in time in your life when you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and you became a child of the King, but you've blown it big time since then, and you just feel far away from God. This morning I invite you to do what David did and own it. Come clean and ask God to cleanse you and begin a fresh walk with Him. Others of you have never put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. You've never called out to Him. You've never asked Him to come into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit and free you from your sin, forgive you of your sin, and to ask Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. If you've never, ever done that, you can do that today and start brand new with a God in heaven who's glad you're here. And what I'd invite us to do for a few moments is just to pray. Would you pray with me for a moment? I'm going to ask Dan and the worship team to come, and they're just going to begin to play. But if you need to ask the Lord to cleanse you, ask the Lord to make you new, would you just whisper that to Him in your heart, in your mind, maybe over your lips? Lord, would you help me? Would you own whatever that big time blow it moment is? If it's a sin that's been tripping you up, would you just confess that to Him? Lord, I confess I am a sinner. Would you just bow your head where you're at? Would you close your eyes? Just kind of get in a box with you and God. And just say, God, I need to own my sin. I've blown it big time. Would you make me clean? Would you make me new? Maybe you're like David and you already had a relationship with the Lord, but you've just kind of feel far away from Him. And this morning, right now, you could say, Lord, would you make me new? Would you give me a fresh start? Would you cleanse me? Others of you, you may have never done that before, and this morning you're feeling something in your heart just going, that's for me. If you've never done that, if you've never asked the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sin, would you do that? You go, I don't know what to say. Just whisper a prayer like this to Him in your heart, mind, or over your lips. Lord Jesus, I've blown it. I'm a sinner. You're the Savior. Would you make me new? Would you wash me clean from the inside out and make me your child? I want to be a part of your family. I want a whole new life because you birthed yourself in me by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I'm calling out to you, Lord, right now. I've never done it before, but I'm doing it right now. Would you save me and give me a fresh start? Jesus, I believe you're at work in the lives of your people. And some are coming back to you. And some just got to know you. And regardless, you know right where each person's at when it comes to a relationship with you. And now you invite people to walk with you. May these moments together be a starting line for a fresh walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, I'm really glad you're here today. I hope you feel encouraged. I hope you feel close to the Lord. I hope that you feel a freshness, an opportunity to begin new with Him today, to walk into a new school year knowing that He loves you, that He wants to make something beautiful out of your life. He believes in you, so much so that He sent His one and only Son to die on a Roman cross for you, to make you clean, to make you new. And when you've blown it big time, you've never blown it so big enough that your great God can't make you new. That's good news. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, you and I have access to a holy God who will cover all the holes in all of the walls that you've ever made or that you ever will make. You don't have to come up with a plan. He's the plan. You don't have to call the operator. You don't have to look for the 24-hour Savior in the yellow pages. His name is Jesus. And He's covered everything. And He says, come on, walk with me. If you've not started a walk with Him, or you prayed with me earlier for the very first time to begin that walk with Him, would you let me know? Would you take your little connect card in front of you? Would you fill that out? And when we're dismissed in a moment, I'm going to have a cup of coffee. And underneath that sign that says Pastor's Coffee, if you walk right under it, there's a little library. I'm going to get me a cup. I'd love for you to have a cup. And I'd love to connect with you and help you take those next steps. If there's something I can pray with you about this week, I'd love to know that. Would you come see me for a moment and let me know what it is? Bring a connect card and just jot your name down so I can touch base with you. Maybe you're sitting there going, yeah, you know, I put a rock down here, but I'm not like officially a member of this church, and I'd really like to be one. Just fill that little connect card out. Come shake my hand. Give it to me. We'll help you get connected in Brian's Connect class. It's going to start September the 7th. All that information is in your Arapahoe Road today. However I can help you, that's what we're here for. We're called shepherds in Scripture. That just means we walk alongside and try to lead people to a place where they can find rest and something to eat for their souls. And however we can do that, it's our honor and blessing and privilege to do so. I'm going to give you a blessing, and Dan and the group's just going to play. If you need to sit here for a minute, you do that. If you need to grab a rock when you go, you do that. If you need to take your kids to promote, do that. And know that I'm glad you're here. Better yet, He's glad you're here. Would you hold your hands out? Let me just give you a blessing. There's nothing you can do to keep him away from you. There's no hole you've put in a wall that he can't patch and repair. He loves you, and he will make you clean over and over and over and over and over again. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to clean us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why does he do that? So we can walk with him. He's our dad, and he loves you, and he loves me. So go and walk in love this week in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.